I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. The other night, I heard on the BBC an incredible story about women in Pakistan who are victims of acid attacks. Now, this was right after a story on The World about a trend of acid attacks in Iran. It's not very common there, but in Pakistan, so far this year, there have been 160 reported acid attacks on women. My BBC colleague Shaima Khalil found out about a hair salon in Lahore that trains women who've been victims of acid attacks to become beauticians. Before we talk about the salon, is it possible to generalize about the kinds of women in Pakistan who are victims of acid attacks?
I think before I spoke to women who were victims of acid attacks, it was easy for me to generalize and just say, look, all of these women come from certain backgrounds, poorer backgrounds, uneducated. But actually, having done research and spoken to more than one victim, one of those victims was a university professor. She was on her way back from work and had acid thrown on her face and on her arms just outside her home in a very affluent, well-to-do suburb of Lahore. And this particular woman, when I asked her, she said, I never thought that would happen to me. I thought this was something that happens to the lower class. It wasn't really something that happened to the higher, more educated people. But actually, you know, here I am, a university professor. This happened to me. And her perpetrator, alleged perpetrator, is also a PhD student who she tells me is still at large. And the acid itself is so easy to get, Marco. I mean, we tested this theory where we went to a couple of stores and just said, can we have a bottle of acid? And for less than a dollar, you can have a liter of acid and basically destroy someone's life.
Wow. So it's a weapon that is accessible by everyone. How many women, how many of these acid attack victims does this salon employ? And how did it all get started?
Well, the particular salon that I went to employs about four, but all in the different branches, there are about 10 beauticians who were acid attack victims that are now employed by the salon. And it all started when the owner of the salon, Musarrat Misbah, had a woman come to her work one day. That was 10 years ago, she told me, and she had her whole face covered. And then she said she removed the veil from her face, and Musara told me she was so shocked she had to sit down because she felt so numb, because the woman that was in front of her basically had no face, as she described it. No eyes, the lips and the nose melted into a lump. And basically, this woman who came from such a simple background told Musara, she said, look, you're a beautician, you've been in the beauty business for 35 years. Can you make me beautiful again? Can you fix my face, please? And of course, no amount of makeup could fix this woman's face after what happened to her. But Musarrat called up a number of doctors and they came in to help. And this is how it started. And then she then went out deliberately looking for these women and put out an ad. And she said, you know, I expected two or three women, but in the first day, she had 42 women through her door that were acid attack victims.
Incredible. So one of the beauticians there is Bushra Shafi. You spoke with her, and her in-laws attacked her with acid because they thought her dowry was too meager.
Exactly. She was attacked about 15 years ago, and she told me that her in-laws, her husband's family, had asked her for more money, for more dowry money, and when she said she couldn't pay, they basically tied her down and poured acid on her. It's really interesting, Marco, when I was speaking to Bushra, and she's such a lovely character, you know, she was laughing all the time. She was calm and together when she was speaking about this horror story that she had to live through. But even though she's over it after 150 operations, the pain still is there. And you could still see the scars and the skin grafts on her face. And, you know, the eyes are skewed a little bit. She has a new nose now that's been put. It's not quite right. She says, I have to have more. But all in all, you could see that there is so much hope and happiness now that she's over this. And I asked her, you know, are you envious at all that you work in this beauty salon and you make women who are already quite good looking even more beautiful? Do you feel envious? And actually, she said no. She said, I'm quite grateful.
That's really counterintuitive, I've got to say, Shaima, because, you know, they are so
Absolutely.
Disfigured. You'd think that it might be kind of complex to work on women who want to be even more beautiful than they already are.
Do you know, that's exactly what I thought. I mean, I had so many mixed feelings when I came out of that salon, because I thought I was going to go in and just do this really, really grim, sad story of women who've been disfigured, who kind of have a job now and are moving on, but really it's a sad story. Actually, There's so much strength in these women and so much determination to move on. But there's also a legal issue there that until 2011, acid attacks were not even a crime. And when the law was amended in 2011, people rarely faced justice. So even the cases that went to court, they would take forever. They would take such a long time that people either give up or they're pressured into settling outside court. So there isn't really anyone or anything that's fighting for these women on a systematic level. And that's really the root of the problem, is that these women feel that they don't have enough support within the society.
Shaima, one of the things that really struck me about your report was how the elite affluent women who come to the salon do not seem freaked out by these disfigured women. I mean, they are almost proud to be serviced by them and certainly appreciate the gentle touch. Tell me just a little bit more about the clients in the salon and how they feel about the women acid attack victims who make them pretty.
Well, it's interesting because when we were there, the women that we spoke to were quite happy to be treated by Bushra and her other colleagues. And we spoke to one woman, Mrs. Salim, who just loved Bushra. She said she has magic in her fingers. I love being treated by her. She's such a bubbly character. Then I asked, listen, you know, would you mind if I ask you, you know, Bushra's, you know, been a victim of an acid attack. It shows on her face. Does that bother you in any way? And she said, absolutely not. You know, it doesn't bother me. She's quite excellent. And anything else is, you know, it's really irrelevant. Having said that, though, I also had a chat with Musart Misbah, the owner of the salon. And she said that not all customers react that way. Some are quite reluctant, actually, Marco, to be treated by them. And she had an interesting argument. She said, look, you know, women come here to relax. Women come here to have facials and massages. And, you know, they come here to be pampered. And when you are faced with an acid attack victim, a very obvious acid attack victim, it takes you by surprise and you're quite shocked. And, you know, she says some are sad, you know, some are quite sympathetic, but others are quite reluctant to be treated by them. And then I said, well, you know, this is a very high-end salon. What do you say to your customers? And she said, look, I tell them you have a choice to go elsewhere, but these girls don't have a choice. So they stay here.
Shaima, thank you so much for telling us about this.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
That was the BBC's Shaima Khalil, and you can meet a few of the women who work at the salon. We have videos of them at PRI.org.